Welcome to The West Steps, a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Thedes. Welcome to The West Steps. And this week, I know it doesn't quite seem like it, but based on my guests, I'm going to say a very fascinating conversation about tax policy. Before we jump into it, and I promise it's going to be fun, I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves, and we will just jump right into it. Esther, you want to start?
Yeah, thanks for the invitation, Beza. My name is Esther Turcios. I'm the Legislative Policy Manager at the Colorado Fiscal Institute. And we're a statewide nonprofit, and our mission is to use research and advocacy to talk about tax issues, which aren't the sexiest, but we find really fun, but how we can use them to help people live healthy lives and achieve economic prosperity.
So tax policies for good. We like that.
Yes, we love that.
And I am Sarah Barnes. I am the manager of special policy initiatives, and I work with a great team at the Colorado Children's Campaign.
And a previous guest of the West Steps.
That's right.
Last season. Returning champ in the house.
We'll see.
So I think whenever we hear tax policy, I think we want to just like leave the conversation immediately. So I'm going to start real basic.
Yes.
And we're going to start with, we hear these words said over and over again, especially now with the American Relief Bill that just passed the U.S. Senate in, about 2 weeks ago now or last week. What is time, right? What is CTC and what is EITC? What are these things? Why do you guys keep saying letters to us? Like, what are these things?
I know we use a lot of acronyms and I hate it because we just hear them and we don't know. And we at the Colorado Fiscal Institute love the EITC and CTC. So what do they stand for? The EITC is the Earned Income Tax Credit and CTC stands for Child Tax Credit.
Great.
And, yeah. And these are federal credits for working families. And just simply put, a tax credit is a dollar for dollar reduction in the income tax someone owes to the federal government or a state government. So it reduces, if you owe money, it reduces how much you owe. There are also refundable credits, and that's why these are really cool, because if you don't owe any money, you get that money back in your pocket.
So what is the difference between the Earned Income Tax Credit and the Child Tax Credit?
Yeah, really good question. They're really similar and they are talked about a lot together. They're tax credits that go to working families. The CTC is specifically for families with children. So children under the age of 17.
So if I have a child under 17 and I owe tax to the federal government, money is deducted from my taxes. And if I don't owe any money to the federal government, the government pays me money. Is that how it works?
Yes. If you qualify for the credit, there are, you know, eligibility requirements, just like with anything else. So it depends on your income, how you file your taxes, so how you file yourself, or if you are married or, you know, filing with someone else, how much you make and how many children you have.
So just to recap, there are these incentives that we put into our tax laws to help families based on how much they earn and if they have any children. And there are eligibility requirements of how you file your taxes. So what are they supposed to do? Why are they in there? What is their benefit?
Yeah, really good question. So these are two, when we talk about tax credits, we love talking about these at CFI because they are two of the most powerful tax credits to pull people out of poverty. And that's really because they're refundable. So take, for instance, two parents who file their taxes together as a married couple. They have two kids and they make $45,000 a year. they would qualify for an EITC benefit of $1,749. So let's say they don't owe any taxes to a federal government, that money gets back to them. And research shows that people use that money then to buy, you know, clothes for their kids, to fix or repair their car, to help buy a new car. So it's really, they're two of the credits that are shown to really help people, pull people out of poverty, help families make ends meet.
I agree with that, Esther. And I think something that really cool is that the EITC and the CTC together are actually the most effective tool to lift kids out of poverty that we have available to us. And we know that the age at which you're most likely to live in poverty is under the age of 6. And so when we think about some of this money from these refundable tax credits from the EITC and the CTC coming back into families' pockets, especially when they have kids who are young, it does really make a huge difference, especially if those families are experiencing poverty.
Mm-hmm. Is there restrictions on how people use this money that they if they qualify for these tax breaks?
No, it's money back in your pocket if you do get that money. I mean, it's yours, so you get to decide how you're going to spend it. We talk to a lot of families, and they spend it in a variety of different ways. And one story that we heard a few years ago was a dad who used the money to pay for karate lessons for his son. He really liked karate lessons. So
that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I think even before the pandemic, right, families are struggling to make ends meet. And I think especially right now, as we're all working to recover from the economic fallout of the pandemic, that money is particularly needed by families for the reasons Esther outlined, like meeting some of those basic necessities and also trying to give kids access to those activities that are so good for their mental health and their development.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that we don't have a very robust policies or solutions that directly put money into people's pockets, and these tax breaks are some of them, or these tax programs are some of them. Why are they currently in the news? Like, why do we keep hearing about them in the past couple of weeks here at the state level, also at the federal level?
Yeah, I mean, I think one reason we're hearing a lot about the child tax credit, at least, is that in the American Rescue Plan, that the federal version of the child tax credit was expanded and made fully refundable so that families who are particularly low-income households, to Esther's earlier point about sort of who may not have as much income tax liability, those families are going to see money coming back directly into their pockets as a result of that part of the American Rescue Plan. So I think that's one reason why we're hearing a lot about it right now.
And is the way it's structured different at the state level from the way it's structured at the federal level?
It is. So the state, we have a state EITC and a state CTC, and Esther can probably speak more to the details of how those work than I can, but they're a percentage of the federal credit. So depending on, again, you know, your income eligibility levels. The important thing to know about the state child tax credit, though, is that even though we have one, it's on the books, it's been in statute since 2013, we've never funded it. So it's currently in our law, but it's not working for families right now.
Why is that?
We never set up a way to fund it. It was the way that the legislation was drafted when the bill was passed, you know, made it contingent on something, and it has never actually come into play.
And I'm assuming the reason why we're hearing about it is because something else happening at this legislature, or are we in for a surprise?
I'm going to turn it over to Esther for that. Yes.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add real quick to what Sarah said, the Federal American Rescue Plan, it raised the maximum credit of the CTC from 2,000 to 3,000 per child. It extended the credit to 17-year-olds, I said under 17 earlier, mm-hmm. and it also made the credit for children under the age of 6, 3,600, so a huge, huge extension of that benefit. At the state level, we're excited. As you said, we've worked with Children's Campaign and a lot of partners over the years to be able to expand these further at the state level because we know how important they are. We were really excited last year because we were able to expand our EITC, our state level EITC, to ITIN filers. And these are our Colorado families and neighbors who file their taxes using an ITIN. That's an individual tax identification number. These are folks who don't have social security numbers. So they tend to be folks who are undocumented. They unfortunately don't get the credit at the federal level. So we wanted to make sure that they were able to access it at least at the state level, especially because we know that undocumented folks have kind of just really been left out of any type of federal relief during this pandemic. And we were one of two states who, two of the first states who did that in the nation, ourselves in California.
Right on.
Yeah, it's awesome. We were really excited about that last year. And so we want to build on that and continue to grow. And so this year we are really excited. We have another effort at the Capitol this year to build on that, expand further. We want to expand our EATC. It's currently 10% of the federal. So let's say you get $1,000 credit at the federal level, then you get 100 at the state level. We want to expand that to 20% at the state level. We also want to expand it to younger folks. So traditionally the EITC at the federal level, folks over 65 don't qualify for it if they don't have children who they're caring for. Neither do folks under 25. So we want to expand eligibility in terms of age. And then as Sarah said, we finally want to fund our state child tax credit, which is structured a little different than the federal. We're looking to expand and fund those this year through an effort and to doing so by cleaning up our tax code, looking at other expenditures which we call them in our state tax law that provides benefits to corporations and folks who don't need them, and using that money to fund and expand these credits.
I hope maybe you can expand that on that point a little bit. I know taxes are how we pay for the things we use collectively, and the current structure of both the state level and the federal tax structures don't allow for low-income families or undocumented families who are part of our community to not benefit to the same extent, say, corporation would benefit. Why is it important to level out some of these inequities that are built into our tax laws?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We're really excited because this year we are looking at a report from our state auditor's office, and they looked at there are over 200 of what we call, again, these expenditures, and that just means a credit, a deduction, an exemption. And they looked at all of them that we have at the state level in our tax law, and they went through each one and said, you know, based on research, who is getting this credit? Who is benefiting from that? To what extent? To what amount? And they really did this really great summary that looked at all of them in the state, all of those expenditures at the state level, and found that a lot of them either aren't working the way they're intended, they're benefiting folks who don't need them. So mostly, you know, high income folks and corporations. And again, it's really important for us at TFI to look at our tax code and clean it up, right? Is it working the way that it's intended to? Is it helping the folks who need it most? And based on this report and a lot of our research, we know that it's not. And so we want to make sure to make our tax code fair, put Coloradans over corporations is really the hope with this package. And ensuring, especially in the middle of a pandemic, that we are closing tax loopholes that are benefiting wealthy Coloradans and corporations who don't need it, and using that money in a way that we know really works. And that's through the EITC and CTC and funding those.
Yeah, I think one thing I would just add to that too, is when we think about who these programs or who these expenditures are benefiting, and we think about those Colorado families that would be getting some of this money back in their pockets as a result of the EITC and the CTC. We know we've seen studies saying that when that money, we know it lifts families out of poverty, it lifts them above the poverty line. We also know that has really powerful, long-lasting, positive impacts on kids into adulthood that are in those families. So a study shows that a family with young kids getting an additional $3,000 in income a year means that the kids in that household as adults have higher earnings, they work more hours, and they even have higher scores on their SATs. So we know that money has real tangible benefits for families, you know, both meeting basic needs now and also setting their kids up for success down the road as adults too.
Yeah, I just want to connect that a little bit, because I think a lot of this, as I said at the beginning, whenever we start to have a conversation about our tax code, a lot of people leave the conversation. And I think that's by design, right? Like, I think our tax code is written and talked about in a way that excludes a lot of people from the conversation. But I just want to, for listeners, I just want to draw these points that you guys are making a little bit more clearly. These benefits that we have in our tax codes are for working families and families with kids, young kids, usually almost always younger than 17, and 17 is included in the federal expansion just starting this year. And that extra money in families' pockets has lifelong benefits to kids and families. It's the biggest tool that allows families and kids to get themselves out of poverty, and allows and expands the experience of kids, including test scores that we have understood to be embedded to a people's innate ability to succeed in academics. So I think that, you know, our conversation here about the child tax credit, the income tax credit, I think even for advocates who want to expand these benefits are seen as like, we're just correcting mistakes. And I wonder if you guys can talk a little bit more about how expanding this is an equity question, or expanding these benefits are about some of the embedded inequalities that we have that you guys have touched on already. For example, the exclusion of undocumented communities from these benefits. I wonder if you can just elaborate a little bit more on the inequities that exist in our tax code and what that means for children's outcome.
Yeah, I think I can say a little bit about that. And I can say that actually I've learned a lot about the racist roots of our tax system from the Colorado Fiscal Institute. So I know Esther knows a lot about this topic, but I do think that one thing I've learned is that our tax code was set up to benefit people who are white and people who are affluent and have more wealth and resources, and to protect that and to create barriers for families and individuals who are from communities of color and who have less access to wealth and resources as a result of those barriers that have been created. Mm-hmm. And so the EITC and the CTC, I think, are one tool we have to help balance that out, right? To think about how do we use our tax code to be more equitable when we're thinking about who, like, breaking down barriers that some families are facing from resources, and how do we can use the tax code to actually dismantle some of those barriers and create more access for some of those families.
Mm. Yeah, I'll just add that, you know, you said, Beza, that like when people start hearing taxes, they like want to leave the conversation. And when we talk about, especially people of color and communities of color, it's, as Sarah said, intentionally been made that way. It's intentional that we don't learn about our taxes and tax systems in schools, and we aren't taught about it growing up, right? Because it's just such a powerful tool to use, and has been used historically to continue to oppress and keep people of color from being able to build wealth. And so it's by design. And I think that we advocate for these two credits so much because we know that they're just such a critical piece in helping to, as Sarah said, undo a lot of that past racist history. And they've been around for a while, right? It's not like they were just created a few years ago. EITC has been around since the 70s, passed federally with bipartisan support. You don't know, it's actually a Republican idea. And then the CTC came along a few years later, I believe in the 90s. And so we have data and studies since then that really show how powerful and critical these are in helping families. And in Colorado, it's in 2018, like nearly 40% of the filers who received them in the state were people of color. So we just know they're really impactful.
I think, you know, we on this podcast, we talk a lot about demystifying the process of policymaking. And I think tax policy is another space where there's just a lot of language that excludes people from the conversation. And at the core of it, what I'm hearing from both of you is that these programs, these credits, help families that need them the most. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about how people can participate in these conversations. And you talked about the very exciting opportunity we have here in Colorado to expand some of these benefits this legislative session. So if I'm somebody who interested in knowing this, interested in using our tax laws and policies to help families that need them the most, how can I plug in? How can I be part of the conversation? Where are the resources?
Yeah, really great conversation. We love just sharing this information so folks know. For years now, we convened our EITC coalition, and it's made up of partners like the Children's Campaign, but also community partners and just recipients of the EITC and CPC. We shout out to Clayton Early Learning Center. We work a lot with their parents, many of whom are recipients and who last year were critical in helping us pass the expansion of the EITC by sharing their stories. So, you know, please reach out to the Colorado Fiscal Institute, to the Children's Campaign, if you want to be a part of that. You know, we are collecting stories of recipients as well. And, you know, we are strong believers that data and numbers matter, but they only tell half the story, and they are really just made stronger and that much better by the stories of our Coloradans and our community members. So, you know, please reach out and plug in. There are different ways to get involved.
Yeah, I would say as a, I've been attending the EITC coalition since it was formed around the effort last year that Esther talked about. And it's a great coalition that CFI is leading and thinking about sort of, you know, both the advocacy push with storytelling, thinking about, you know, the policy pieces, thinking about different communication and messaging. And so it's a great place to really get involved to learn about the issue, but also there are a number of ways, there are a number of tools at that coalition available for advocating for this issue and ways that you want to advocate. And yeah, it's a great coalition to join.
Yeah. And I think the last thing I would say is, I say this all the time on this podcast, so you know, excuse the repeating myself, but these systems are human made. We, as a society, made them and decided this is how we will structure, how we would collect money to pay for the things we use collectively and what benefits we embed in them. So just that just means that we also get to reform it and make it work for all of us, not just some of us. Starting to sound like Bernie Sanders here, but I think it's important that families who need these credits see them as just as any other benefits that we have on the books, because they are. I think the idea that they are embedded in our tax laws should not be seen as like a deterrent to learning more, asking more. And the new expansion that you guys are working on this legislative session look really, really promising. So if you guys want to learn more, we'll be writing about this in our weekly newsletters. You can subscribe to Kids Flash. We'll add that to the show notes. I just want to say thank you for both of you for making the time and to have truly a fun conversation about tax laws.
Thanks for having us. And I'm glad Esther was here to talk tax policy with me.
No, thanks again for the invite. Any moment I get to nerd out on taxes, I'm always excited. And just one last thing, we're in tax season, so I wouldn't be, you know, CFI if I didn't remind y'all that we're in tax season. A big reason Colorado has a low take-up rate is just because people don't know about the EATC and CTC. So don't forget to just get your taxes done. And when you do, ask your tax preparer about the EATC. Make sure you get it. It's your money.
Fantastic. Thank you, both of you. Hopefully we'll talk more on exciting topics like tax policy.
Yeah.
The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. If you want to support our work, go to coloradokids.org.
Fun fact, you can also find out Erica's pet peeves on her profile page on our website.
Please don't do that.